agenda.
I'd like to call the April 22nd, 1983 House Test Committee meeting to order. Let the record show that the time is 2:20 PM. And let the record also show that in attendance at this meeting are members Fritz, Kopanen, Sherman, Gall, and Tischer. I'd like to welcome all of those who came to observe this hearing and also for those who came to testify. For those who wish to testify, we would appreciate having your signature on the appropriate bill list so that we can call upon you at the appropriate time. Pardon me?
Do I have to testify?
Yes,
my name.
And with that, for those who are coming to the table to testify, please remember to state your full name and your affiliation, if you have any. Today's agenda, we will be hearing two bills. One is House Bill 352, an act related to the definition of death and providing for an effective date. And two, House Bill 347, an act related to the licensing of practitioners of naturopathic medicine and providing for an effective date. Let the record also show that we are supposed to go online with a teleconference at 2 o'clock for that second listed bill for input from other parts of the state. The intention of the chair to move House Bill 352 from committee today, so that you are all aware. We have heard House Bill 352 before, and we are extending ourselves to the members of the public. Pardon me? Oh, excuse me. That was the natural death. I beg your pardon. This is the first time we're hearing this bill. Therefore, I better retract what I just said, because if we have not heard the bill before, now it's concluded, then if at all possible, we will move the bill out. But there is no mandate. House Bill 352, then, we have Dr. Ribault. Wait a minute. Do we have the sponsor of the bill present? Dr. Fritz? Perhaps it would be wise if we asked him to testify before Dr. Ribault.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Milo Fritz. I'm representative district.
We are online, so we can go. You may sit there and hold it down.
Sometimes I come talking to myself anyway.
Please proceed, Dr.
I introduced this bill at the request of Dr. Ribault of the Department of Health, and it brings up the modernizes and brings up the modern verbiage, the definition of death. And I have nothing further to say except that I'm naturally in favor of having things in modern speech rather than in something that modern science has proved archaic. Therefore, I would ask, Madam Chairman, that you call on Dr. Ribault.
Thank you, Dr. Fritz. Let the record show that Representative Miller has arrived. And Dr. Ribault, would you like to speak to
this? Excuse me, Madam Chairman, just one question of the last witness. Who requested this bill?
Dr. Ribault.
Stuart Ribone, I'm representing the Department of Health and Social Services. And the position of the department is, and I hope you all have copies of our position paper, that the department favors this bill. It basically is housekeeping. However, we have some problems with the version that finally ended up in this bill here, and we would recommend, if at all possible, that the committee seriously considers the uniform definition, which is much more succinct and avoids several possible legalistic problems, and basically is sponsored by the President's Commission for the Study of Ethical Problems in Medical and Biomedical and Behavioral Research. In addition to that, this bill has been approved by the American Medical Association, the American Bar Association, and the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws, besides some national and professional organizations. The uniform definition is somewhat shorter than the bill as outlined here, and it reads, an individual who has sustained either one, irreversible cessation of circulatory and respiratory functions, or two, irreversible cessation of all functions of the entire brain, including the brain stem, is dead. A determination of death must be made in accordance with accepted medical standards. As you can see, there is some difference between the bill as presented to you and that uniform definition that I just read. I can run through these if you don't have the position papers, or
we have the position papers, okay. Doctor. The one that was submitted on
18th, yes, ma'am. And I think that it speaks precisely to the point, and why we would prefer to see the uniform definition, which I might add is 19 states have already adopted this, and there's some obvious reasons why a uniform definition of death throughout the United States would be to the advantage of the individual states and certainly to the public. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Other questions of the witness? Dr. Fritz?
Dr. Abboe, is it your wish then that we substitute what's in quotes in the first paragraph and background on your position paper for the bill, or do you like the bill the way it is?
No, I would. The department would prefer that you substitute the uniform definition, which is cited in the quotes in the background. If the committee feels that that is too much, we would accept the bill as is, although we would prefer it for the various reasons, the four reasons that we cite in our position paper.
Just as a point of clarification, if you would, please. The bill was introduced on the 12th day of April of this year, and your position paper is dated the 18th, so one followed the other very closely. I guess my question is, Doctor, that prior to the position paper, the definition that is listed on the bill is adequate. And my question is, were you not aware that there was a more uniform definition prior to the request to introduce this bill? Why wasn't that definition included in the bill rather than as it reads now?
We had suggested the uniform definition, and I assume that the attorney, whoever helped to draw up the bill in 352 in its present form, deviated from that. And
you had actually then asked.
We had suggested, yes. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Dr. Fritz, perhaps you could clarify that since you were the author. Who did the drafting, and why didn't they follow your advice? Or, in fact, was that your advice?
Madam Chairman, to answer your question, the first one was that I gave the young drafter, whose name I don't recall, over in legislative affairs, the go-ahead to consult Dr. Rabeau about this. And had I realized that there was this definition that's now in the background paragraph in the position paper on this bill, I would have substituted the position paper in quotes part for the main body of the bill here. I can't really tell you why it happened that way.
I'm sure that you were trying to take the recommendation, Dr. Rabeau, and I'm not questioning that, Dr. But I'm now questioning, I guess, how come the drafter, who had consulted with Dr. Rabeau, and he expressed his wishes that you concurred with, he used this uniform definition. I'm surprised that he didn't put it in
I was not consulted, but, no ma'am.
Well, I withdraw a question that we have a problem with that, but I don't have any problem personally about transmitting uniform definition into the context of the bill, Mr. Ball.
Thank you. Dr. Rabeau, my understanding is that, except for the use of the word individual in place of person and the omission of medically and legally dead, or the recommendation to delete medically and legally dead, that the major difference, other than the order of the words, is that the use of the phrase on line 11, in the opinion of the physician, whereas in the other version here in your physician paper, it says, in accordance with accepted medical standards. Now, presumably anybody can make this determination in accordance with accepted medical standards, but the law as drafted indicates that a physician must make this determination. Is it your position then that the requirement that a physician make the determination be deleted as well?
Well, you don't need it, because by virtue of the fact that you say that you set the standard for establishing death, that accepted medical standards.
So then you're happy to have somebody considered legally dead in the absence of a physician, is that
no,
correct?
No, because the medical standards can only be rendered by a physician.
Well, who says?
Hmm?
Who says? I mean, why, if I learn what accepted medical standards of making this evaluation are and I administer them, it doesn't say here that a professional must do it.
No, sir, because you cannot practice medicine, and that would be practicing medicine.
Yeah? It doesn't say anything here about practicing medicine. It says a determination of death must be made in accordance with a certain set of standards, not by a certain type of practitioner. Now, I'm not saying that one is better than the other, but I cannot agree that it's the same to say, for example, if I say, an arrest may be made in accordance with police standards, that doesn't mean that a police officer must make the arrest. I can make a citizen's arrest according to a certain set of standards, or I can go on with other examples, and once again, I'm not questioning whether one is right or one is wrong, but only stating that, in my opinion, it certainly is different to say in the opinion of a physician than not to say it, and it's certainly your choice as a witness to determine what you prefer, which is basically what I'm asking.
Well, as we say, we're relatively indifferent to that. We don't think the difference is important. I think number 3 in our position paper states that.
Thank you, sir.
Dr. Ebel, it says here that 19 states have now adopted this definition, so I would imagine it's identical wording. Has there been any problems?
No,
crop
sir.
Up that has been involved and suggested that could crop up that
not,
you know of?
Not that I know of, sir.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are there further questions for the witness? Hearing none. Thank you very much, Dr. Bowles. Thank you. Hearing that before. That concludes the list of witnesses that we have. I will now the bill for discussion. And what am I saying now? Miller?
Madam Chairman, if it's appropriate at this time, I would like to make a motion that we adopt a committee substitute containing the language which was filled out in the physician paper by the Department of Health and Social Services, being that I think it's important that we conform to the other states in an item such as this.
Motion? Objection?
No.
Objection.
Thank you.
It's more, not just an objection, it's more by way of discussion of the motion. I'm just wondering if the sponsor of the motion would like to consider this. I'm not sure whether or not it's terribly important, but I mean that literally, I don't know. In the existing law, a specific
requirement is made that a physician make this determination. I don't know, this newspaper article maybe is a good, you know, case in point, but here's somebody who a layman assumed to be dead and wasn't dead, and even if that layman applied his view of acceptable medical standards, who's to be the judge? So I think what I would suggest, and as I say, just a suggestion, would be that we retain the wording in the existing legislation, which does require that a physician make the determination, and that we make all the other changes recommended by Dr. Rabeau, which would be as follows. A person is considered medically and legally, I'm sorry, an individual is considered medically and legally dead if, in the opinion of a physician licensed or exempt from licensing under ASO 864, based on acceptable medical standards, the person has sustained irreversible cessation of circulatory and respiratory functions or irreversible cessation of all functions of the entire brain, including the brain stem. Have I left out, oh yes, I did, I'm sorry. And delete the words medically and legally, my mistake. An individual, let me just go back, line 10 and 11, an individual is considered dead in the opinion of a physician licensed or exempt. Yes, please.
An individual is considered medically, and you're
passing
medically out.
No, ma'am. I'm taking out, as Dr. Rabeau suggested, both the words medically and legally, and just replacing it with the word dead. So it would be, or just leaving the word dead. So an individual is considered dead if, in the opinion of a physician, licensed or exempt from licensing, based on acceptable medical standards, the person has sustained irreversible cessation of circulatory and respiratory functions or irreversible cessation of all brain of all functions of the entire brain, including the brain stem, etc. And I think it's not terribly important whether we adopt the phrasing that legal services prepared with the changes Dr. Rabeau suggested, or we adopt the quote here in background in the position paper. The intent of my discussion here is to suggest that we retain the first words on line 10 and 11, which basically requires the participation of a physician.
If that's a friendly amendment, I personally have no objections to that.
I would concur with Mr. Gold. I would prefer that if Mr. Miller doesn't.
Would you like to withdraw your motion, Mr. Miller?
Okay. I would.
Would you rephrase it or revise it?
Yes, I will withdraw my previous motion. Okay, I would like to make a motion to have a committee substitute for House Bill 352.
Just to suggest that you make the motion by all means, I just wanted to ask you whether you had a preference as to changing those words and going an individual is considered dead if, in the opinion of the physician, licensed and so forth, and based on acceptable medical standards, the individual has, and then from there on, use the
language. No problem whatsoever. So I would make the motion as, I'm not going to try to follow, repeat it, but as Representative Gold has just stated.
For the record then, first of all, there's been a motion on the floor. Are there objections to the motion as understood? Let me just clarify then, for the record, that we have it correct. Any substitute be drawn for House Bill 352, and that the following changes be made. And if I make them on line 10 of page 1, delete the word person and insert the word individual.
Madam Chairman, you have to change the first word A to an.
Correct. Delete a person and insert an individual. On line 11, delete the word medically and legally. On line 12, delete the word ordinary and insert the word acceptable. Acceptable medical. Excuse me, I'm having a place of the word person, individual. If that is accurate, I would ask. Did you ask unanimous consent to your motion?
Yes, I did. However, let me go a little bit further on in the end of line 15, where it says death may be from in this circumstance or artificial means of maintaining respiration. And it goes on. I don't know if that was intended to be left in, because it's not in the standard that's been adopted.
I just wanted to ask Dr. Rubeau a question in regard to this.
Very well. Dr. Rubeau, would you be willing to come back for questions?
Would this create any difficulty in isolated situations? In other words, can the department draw up its regulations in regard to this in a manner permitting a physician to, well, state physician, to delegate this to a trooper, an EMT, for example, somebody loses their head into a crane up on the North Slope, do they have to be shipped down to be found out whether they're dead and then shipped back for burial, or something as obvious as that, has that be accepted?
Right now, you know, the statute says that only person is considered medically and legally dead if, in the opinion of a medical doctor licensed or exempt from licensing under ASO 864, based on ordinary standards of medical practice, or when the respiratory cardiac functions are maintained by artificial means, they're considered medically and legally dead if, in the opinion of a medical doctor licensed or exempt, and so on. Right now, there exists no way. In other words, I would assume that all over the state we're burying live people, because there are an awful lot of people that die in this state that are never seen by a physician. The answer is yes.
Yes, they can delegate?
They'll have to. Here's the existing statute.
I know that people die and are buried without...
That's where I assume we would take off and say we're ordinary or by accepted medical standards. By the definition.
Does that fit? I mean,
yes,
in other words, we're not complicating the case.
No, sir. No, because the one that we have now is even,
right,
the existing one is worse than either the uniform definition or the bill before you, or the modification, which, if I understood correctly, the modification is the uniform one with the exception of the amendment that you put in for that one part.
Yes, sir, just the addition.
Yeah. And that's, there's no problem with that, as we stay in our position.
But
our regulations would cover that.
Okay. You could, yeah, I mean...
otherwise, we're burying live people, right, by definition.
Is there further discussion? Going back to the motion. Does everyone understand the motion, or shall I repeat it again?
I understand it.
Very good. Here, are there objections to the motion? Hearing none, so moved. Mr. Gall?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move that we pass this bill from committee with individual recommendations.
Are there objections? Oh, Mr. Davis, excuse me, for the record, Mr. Davis has arrived earlier. I beg your pardon, it's not recognized.
I believe this motion should be to move the committee substitute.
Yes, I'm so sorry. I would like to move. We have now accepted the committee substitute.
Yes, we have accepted the committee substitute.
Thank you. I'd like to move. I would like to move that we pass committee substitute for House Bill 352 from the HES committee with individual recommendations, and ask unanimous consent.
Are there objections to the motion? Hearing none. So moved.
Mm-hmm.
Will the committee then take up House Bill 347 next? And the title of that bill is an act related to the licensing of practitioners of naturopathic medicine providing for an effective date. We have, could I have the witness list, please?
Not on it.
Thank you. We have on the list for witnesses. Six individuals, and I'd like to note to the committee that the prime sponsor, Representative Martin, is not here today. He's out of town, I believe, and so we will have to go beyond and perhaps ask him back at another time to testify. We do have online with our teleconference, which we are, I think that's what it is, teleconference, several people who would like to testify then. We have Pat Pettijohn from Anchorage, and we have Scott Davidson from Juneau. Are these other folks here? Are all of these on?
These are all in Juneau.
Oh, they're under, okay, so it's just.
Mr. Pettijohn, this is the moderator in Juneau,
yes.
And the committee is ready to hear your testimony. Have you been hearing them?
Yes.
Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to express my support for this legislation. My name is Patton Pettijohn. I am a 30-year resident of the state of Alaska. I have received a Bachelor of Science degree in Human Biology, undergraduate study at Brigham Young University, Canada's Newman College, and a doctorate degree in Naturopathic Medicine through the National College of Naturopathic Medicine in Portland, Oregon. I'm currently licensed to practice Naturopathic Medicine in Oregon, and I have been practicing in Alaska for 4 years. I might add that that the state of Alaska helped finance my schooling all through my professional years through the naturopathic school through the student loan program, and I'm grateful for that. At the present time, as you must know, Alaska has no licensing requirements. Upon returning home after graduating and obtaining some experience in Oregon, I contacted the medical board and questioned them about the legal status of the practice of naturopathy in Alaska. They were caught quite off guard, as no one had really pursued the question before, and they informed me that they had no jurisdiction whatsoever in the licensing or controlling the practice of naturopathy in the state of Alaska. However, they did inform me that, in their opinion, as a board at that time, that the practice of naturopathy in Alaska would constitute the practice of medicine, and advised me not to do it, but that their opinion could be challenged in court, and that my best bet, however, would be to seek legislation similar to other professions, so I could have legislation which would allow me to practice my art as I'm trained to do so. And I also contacted the Occupational Licensing Division, and they also informed me that there was no regulations telling me that I could or telling me that I couldn't, and that the Attorney General did render opinion that he felt essentially that naturopathy in Alaska was an unlicensed activity. However, there was some question as to whether naturopathy did overlap into the practice of medicine. It has repeatedly come to my attention that it is the state's responsibility to to license doctors and to license professional people in the state to maintain proper quality so that the public is protected from those people that may have potentially do harm if they're not properly trained in their field. So I feel that this bill is very important to protect the public interest. And because naturopathy is a separate and distinct system of healing, which does diagnose and treat the sick, so there is potential to do harm if those people are not properly trained to do so. There's also a constitutional right of the Alaskan people that should be addressed, and I feel that the citizens of Alaska should have the right to choose, because of preference and availability, what kind of doctor they desire. This country is not designed around monopolies, and there should be other healing arts and other professions that if the people desire to choose them over one other system of healing, that they should have the right to do so if that profession is within the law and does not infringe upon the rights of others. Naturopathy, by way of introduction, is a separate and distinct healing profession which puts emphasis on stimulating the body to heal itself with natural therapy as an alternative, when an alternative is possible, to synthetic drugs and major surgery. It is a profession which emphasizes prevention and trying to get at the cause of disease rather than just treating the symptoms. It is a profession which trains primary care family physicians. We emphasize that alternative treatment should be sought from potentially harmful drugs and surgery if more natural treatment is a viable alternative. And so, as the main conventional orthodox medical treatment today has more emphasis on drugs and surgery, we feel that that people should have an alternative if one is available, and our profession tries to fill that gap. We realize, however, in some cases, orthodox medical treatment, including synthetic drugs and major surgery, are in the best interest of the patient, and we will refer when appropriate. Again, from this, you can see that at times the naturopathic profession does overlap into the other professions. Naturopathic physicians do have offices for treating the sick for pay, just as medical doctors do. We are trained to diagnose disease. We are trained in minor surgery in our schools. We are trained to draw blood for diagnostic purposes, and that we do use the application of heat, cold, water, and exercise, as do the physical therapists. So, again, it's important that the state define what naturopathy is, and that they establish proper qualifications. To me, the main objection that I have been receiving is the fact that the bill maybe allows for too broad of a scope of naturopathic practice, and that's where most of the objections seem to be coming from. I do see that Dr. Fritz has submitted a substitute bill or amendment which would restrict naturopathic physicians from practicing as they're trained to do so. I feel that the other members of the committee should realize that Dr. Fritz is a medical doctor, and his loyalty is to his profession. Having Dr. Fritz defining the scope of naturopathic practice is like the Catholics telling the Baptists how to worship. It just will not work. Naturopathic schools have always taught minor surgery in their schools. We are not asking to practice outside of naturopathy. the very first school in this country to had its graduating class in 1902, and their curriculum was subjects that covered the minor surgery techniques. I should point out that the medical lobby has always battled against other potential competition. In the history, we can find the optometrist going through the same struggle. Until recent years, osteopathy also was battled by the medical profession, as was chiropractic. It's no surprise that that other states do have legislation which restricts the practice of naturopathy and limits it to more than what is taught in the naturopathic schools. And this is because of the political pressure put on by a very powerful medical lobby. And the reason why other states don't all have the right to do minor surgery is because of that political pressure put upon the legislatures. But I will like to point out that this bill that we have here today, Senate House Bill 347, is very close to the Oregon bill. And that Oregon bill has been there since 1920 or 1930. They've been licensing naturopathic physicians for years. I'm not saying that every naturopathic physician that's ever been licensed is perfect, as medical doctors are not perfect. But in Oregon, they're trained, in the schools, we're trained to perform minor surgery, and in the state of Oregon, we're licensed to perform minor surgery because of the fact that we're trained to do so. And so that, I feel, is an important subject that to restrict the scope of naturopathic practice should depend upon the quality of education. And it shouldn't depend upon necessarily what another profession does, because we're always going to have overlapping professions to one degree or the other. And the emphasis should be whether or not naturopathic physicians are properly trained in their schools and are qualified and competent in the procedures. Again, naturopathic schools have always taught the use of natural medicine from plant and animal sources to treat the sick. The FDA, Federal Drug Administration, making a medicine from natural sources a prescription item, classifies that item as a drug and denotes that item should be prescribed by one who has expertise. We feel that we have that expertise to prescribe natural plant and animal substances. I must point out that some sterile water preparations, vitamins, enzymes, whole plant substances have been classified as prescription items and then can be referred to as drugs. I feel that licensable naturopathic physicians as a whole have more expertise, more professional training and experience in dispensing those types of prescription items than do the medical profession, because their emphasis isn't on natural preparations and plants and vitamins and enzymes. So again, I'd just like to stress that the quality of education of naturopathic physicians should be investigated. We're only asking to be included in this bill that which has always been taught in approved American naturopathic schools. The question should be asked: are the subjects taught? Are the instructors qualified? Has the material subject been covered? Do the potential graduates and those being desired to be licensed show competency in the subjects covered? This should be the main thrust and emphasis of the committee hearings. And basically, I'm open for questions at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Pettyjohn. There are a number of questions from the members. Mr. Gall will be first, and then Mr. Kopanen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I
I have a number of questions, and I would appreciate it very much, because we only have about 40 minutes left, if you'd be so gracious as to keep your answers brief.
I'll try to, yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. First of all, you say that you are licensed to practice in the state of Oregon. Can you briefly outline the requirements for licensure in Oregon?
Yes. They're very, very closely similar to the present bill, that you do need an undergraduate study work. You do need to be a graduate from an approved naturopathic school with at least 4,000 hours, and it's in residence study. It's not a correspondence course, and you do need to pass an examination by the board, or you do need to have a license that the state of Oregon offers reciprocity in order to be licensed to, that has equal standards as far as licensing procedures. So those are the basic qualifications for licensure, and there are certain subjects that have to be taught in order for that school to be approved.
Thank you, sir. I'm concerned with one particular clause which requires only 2 years of post-secondary education. It would seem to me that a person's practice on other people's lives should at least have gone and graduated education.
Medical schools require, not likely that they can because of the competition.
Excuse me, would you hold up just a moment? We didn't get the last statements on tape, and we're having problems with our tape machine. Is it okay now? Okay. Please continue then.
Okay. The fact that I'm aware of other programs where they take students right out of high school into a medical 6-year medical program.
Okay, sir, but you have no objection to a 4-year requirement then?
I don't.
I'd also like to understand, you say that where a case requires a physician, you refer that case to a physician. That would imply quite a lot of diagnostic training. Could you explain to me why you feel that the diagnostic training presently available is sufficient to make one competent to make these kinds of decisions? Briefly, please.
Yes, I believe that naturopathic physicians are very competently trained in the diagnosis, and the diagnoses that we use are pretty much on par and equivalent to the type of diagnosis and training received through traditional medical school. So the question is whether or not the patient has a condition where they have to have emergency drugs or emergency surgery, and it's in their best interest. And again, this is why it's so important that we do establish quality control in the state of Alaska, to make sure that those people that are qualified, I mean that are licensed, are qualified, and that they can make those judgments in the best interest of their patients.
Thank you, sir. And finally, just to give me an example of how you operate, let's say a person comes in, has been diagnosed by a physician as having a benign ovarian cyst. What would you recommend?
Well, sometimes it's just, generally what we would do is try to confirm the diagnosis ourselves, and we would do a physical exam, and it just depends upon the kind of benign cyst it is. Perhaps we would have a sonogram done that might be able to give us an indication what kind of cyst it was. If it was a simple cyst associated with ovulation, a lot of times we just allow it to go away by itself. If we find it to be some type of a growth, which is continuing to enlarge and has the potential of continuing to do harm, we will probably refer them to have some maybe surgical diagnostic work done outside our scope, like laparoscopic exams, to identify what kind of tumor it was, and go from there. But there are many cysts which are associated with ovulations that just go away by themselves. But we would try to do what we could to always strengthen the person's health and vitality so that the body can work as efficiently as possible. But again, what kind of cyst it was would be important as far as what kind of treatment we would do.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Pettyjohn, also.
Thank you. Do you know what number of states currently license Natura Fest?
Yes, there are about seven other states that have licensing laws. The state of Washington, the state of Oregon, the state of Hawaii, the state of Arizona, the state of Nevada, the state of Kansas, the state of Connecticut, the state of Florida, Washington, D.C. Those are the main ones, and there are about four or five provinces of Canada that have licensing procedures for naturopathic physicians as well.
Thank you. That can be very handy information if you need it for the research on the way to approach it elsewhere. The self-governing, the learned professions generally are self-governing, and they have a board. This, neither version of the bill suggests a board. Do you really feel comfortable with having the Department of Licensing?
Well, of course, originally I did submit that we have a board a few years ago, but it was the feeling of the legislature that it would never pass the Finance Committee. You know, there was a few naturopaths, four or five licensable naturopaths in the state of Alaska, and for them to create a new arm of government and designate that, you know, extra money for a complete board for so few naturopaths, at the present time, they still had no chance of passing. So they felt that because there was such few work that had to be done for such few naturopaths, that they would put it under an existing arm of government until such time as the number of naturopaths in Alaska would justify a board. But you're correct. If we could have a board, I feel that the naturopathy profession itself would be much more beneficial than being under another arm of government.
The problem in other areas, for instance, in land surveying and certain branches of architecture and the like, has been dealt with by grouping allied professions together and having them, the board made up of representatives from each. Do you feel there are allied professions that you might work with as part of their existing board, perhaps with the addition of an naturopath?
Well, it's possible, but we always find opposition. I think that everybody wants the autonomy to separate them out as a separate and distinct profession. But for you know, saving money, you know, I'm in favor of it if it can be worked out. But generally speaking, again, we don't want to get the aspect of, you know, the Catholics telling the Baptists how to worship. Now, if the medical board, which is all comprised of medical doctors, are telling the naturopaths what to do and how to do it, when it's not, they don't know anything about naturopathy, then it's not going to work out very well. And they have already indicated to me that they have no interest in regulating naturopathy. So chiropractic is another profession, but it has a possibility there. And I have a lot of friends in chiropractic per se, but again, they like to keep their autonomy separate from other professions, and they're pleased with what they have. So I probably would get some opposition to the chiropractic board, not because they're against naturopathy, but it would make it more confusing to them, perhaps.
Thank you. If you think of any, please send them to us.
Are there any other questions from the members of this committee to Mr. Pettijohn? I don't hear any. Thank you very much, Mr. Pettijohn. Do you have any more comments, or if not, then I'll call our next witness, and we'll leave the phones open so that you can hear the testimony if you'd like.
Thank you very much.
The next witness we have is Scott Jameson.
Madam Chairman.
Mr. Miller.
I believe that Dr. Fritz is on there, and I think we should extend him same courtesy we extend to other legislators who are testify.
I beg your pardon. Dr. Fritz, you may be next, and then we'll call Dr.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Webster's New World Dictionary, second college edition, defines naturopathy as the system of treating diseases largely employing natural agencies such as air, water, sunshine, and rejecting the use of drugs and medicines and surgery. This bill, which I hope will never be passed, allows naturopaths to elbow their way into the practice of medicine. I have no objection for naturopaths to do any of the things that they feel they are capable of doing, so long as they fulfill the requirements of having a license to practice medicine. Let me call your attention, members of the committee, to page 2, beginning on line 13. Notice underneath that, line 17, public health. Notice on line 18, x-ray diagnosis. Notice obstetrics and gynecology, which of course is self-explanatory. Note orthopedics, a specialty of medicine. Note particularly line 22, minor surgery and proctology. Minor surgery, ladies and gentlemen, is surgery that's being done on somebody else. Proctology is another medical specialty that people, after they have finished their medical school and their internship, learn to handle with various instruments and through surgery. Otolaryngology is a medical specialty having to do with the eye, the ear, and the throat. Excuse me, not the ear, nose, and throat. Physiotherapy and manipulative techniques also come under the jurisdiction of medicine. If you would now turn your attention, please, to page 3. Change that to page 4. You will notice there that these people want to sign birth and death certificates, which is clearly something outside of their education and requirements. Notice on page 5, they include acupuncture and on line 5, the use of drawing blood for laboratory purposes and using electrical and other methods and the care of superficial lacerations and abrasions. It's very interesting to me that somebody who claims to be an herb doctor should be in any position to repair lacerations and do what they call minor surgery. A basic ignorance is displayed in line 7, where it says they distinguish benign superficial lesions. There are many lesions on the skin and exposed parts of the body that look benign, but only after they have an excisional biopsy, that is, after they are totally excised and sent for pathological examination, you find their true situation. In other words, they might be benign and they might be malignant. Removal of foreign bodies, other than common first aid things, if you find something in the inside of one's lower lid, anybody can remove it, of course. It doesn't need to be a naturopath or an MD. Natural childbirth and obstetrics, including relative minor surgical procedures, something clearly beyond the purview
of
any
doctor?
Line 10.
Page 5.
In my experience and opinion, there is no such thing as a minor surgical procedure in the practice of obstetrics. What starts off as minor sometimes becomes very major indeed. Next, I'd like to turn your attention to the staff report. Under definitions, let's look at the state of Florida, for instance. You'll read there that the use...
What page, Doctor?
It has not, they're not numbered. Use and practice of physiological, mechanical, material health sciences to aid in purifying, cleansing, and normalizing human tissues, employing phytotherapy, dietetic, psychotherapy, suggestive therapy, hydrotherapy, zone therapy, biochemistry, and so on. But they make no mention of diagnosing superficial lesions, whether they can be cancer or whether they are benign. There's nothing that says anything about the practice of obstetrics and the practice of minor surgery. There's nothing in here about otolaryngology, orthopedics, proctology, or any of those subspecialties of medicine. These people are clearly reaching beyond their competence and invading the practice of medicine, the tenets of which are outlined under the Medical Practice Act of this and the other states. In Georgia, a naturopath, naturopathy is defined as a philosophy and system of the healing art embracing prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of human ills and functions by the use of several properties, which I will not repeat. And since you are all educated men and women, you can read these for yourselves. Now let's go to the drug situation. They make special recognition, they take special recognition of the power of drugs, and they should be allowed to prescribe and write prescriptions, through writing prescriptions. One of the drugs found in nature is cocaine, and there's not anybody at this table or in this room does not know that that is a dangerous drug and cannot be used lightly in the treatment of disease or in the diagnosis of disease. Another drug is digitalis, a drug that's used largely in the treatment of heart disease. If that is used improperly, it can be fatal, as you probably already know already. And there are other drugs, of course. And to allow a person of limited experience and limited accreditation to prescribe drugs of the magnitude and far-reaching effects of such drugs as cocaine and digitalis, I do not think is in the public interest. The irregular practitioners of the healing arts always accuse the medical profession of having a monopoly and that they want to keep other people from practicing the discipline. My answer to that is, of course, that there's nothing exclusive about it at all. Anybody that can qualify to go to medical school, graduate, have an internship, and get a license to practice can do any of these things that those who are incompletely educated wish to do. Therefore, in summary, I would say that as long as naturopaths stick to their definition of the practice of naturopathy, treating systems of disease, largely employing natural agencies and natural things found in nature, accepting such potent drugs as cocaine, digitalis, and many others that I could mention, I feel will do no harm, but I feel they must definitely be kept out of the subspecialties of medicine, obstetrics and gynecology, minor surgery, and other things clearly beyond their competence. And Madam Chairman and fellow members of this committee, I'd be very glad to try answering any questions you might have.
Thank you, Dr. Fritz. I don't want to take up too much time at this time from question and answer to you, because we can always do that. We have some more witnesses to to hear. But I would like to point out to the committee after that tongue lashing, if you will, and I call your attention, Dr. Fritz, at least to something that you brought to our attention earlier and had with regards to qualifications for a licensed individual. And I would like to go back to page 2 where you were vehemently opposed to in naturopath practicing all of the from line 13 through 29. And I call your attention to this because what this section, section 08-45-110 says is that there are licensing requirements in this bill that would require the naturopath to qualify for licensure, and that upon graduating they would have to do this, thus, and that. Well, for example, number 3, have graduated from a legally chartered school or college and had a requirement for graduation, successful completion of the course of the resident instruction of at least 9 months actual attendance for each of the 4 years, and successful completion of the course of instruction totaling 4,000 years. The course of instruction shall include, these are requirements that that the applicant for licensure would have to have completed before a license could be issued. At any rate, there are other points that perhaps we can come back to. If the committee doesn't mind, we perhaps can go on to some of the other witnesses who are here present today. We have Scott Jameson. Please state your name and affiliation, if you would, please.
Do I need to flip a switch or anything?
And when you speak, yes, please do press down on that bar in front of you so that you can be heard. And when you are finished speaking, raise your hand off so that the mic can be open to others.
My name is Scott Jameson. I am a doctor of naturopathy. I am currently practicing in Juneau, Alaska. And I am here to speak against House Bill 347. I have a lot of problems with this bill, and it's real hard for me to speak against a bill for my profession, but this bill has so many problems that I could not in good conscience do otherwise. So with that, I would like to start by going through the bill point by point and listing the problems that I have with it and the reasons why I cannot support it.
Excuse me, Mr. Jameson, so that you know, we will be continuing this hearing for another about 10 minutes at the most. There are others that have committee meetings to go to, and we'll probably close about 5 minutes to 3, so if I cut you off, it's not intentional, and since you are a resident of Juneau, we would ask that you could back at a later time and we'll hear this again. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. My biggest gripe with this bill is it establishes it does not establish a board of naturopathic examiners. I feel that this is a real important thing to do if we want to get quality control of naturopathic doctors in this state. The second biggest gripe I have is that this is not a gripe, this is a observation, that it assigns to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development all of the responsibilities for the licensing and regulation of naturopathic physicians. And my question is this a responsibility that the Department of Commerce is willing to take on at this point in time? Articles 1 and 2 of the bill itself, I feel, should be functions of a board. And if you want to go through point by point, I'll address briefly the individual points that I want to make. Line 23 through 26 on page 1 provides for temporary permits, essentially without a naturopath having passed any kind of licensing examination. I would like to see this changed, and I will address it more in conjunction with a provision for, internship that I will speak to in just a moment. On page 2, lines 5 through 12, sections 2 and 3, I would be glad to see 2 years of post-secondary education removed and replaced by a Bachelor of Arts degree or a Bachelor of Science degree. Lines 7 through 12, I would like to have it include I would like to have it say that our training includes at least 2 years of hands-on clinical experience. This is true of the education that I have received. It's not stated directly in this bill, and I would like to see that written down. Lines 13 through 29, I feel the course of instruction should be decided upon by the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, and I don't feel that this should be included in a state bill. I would like to say a point about the Board of Examiners. I would like to see a Board of Examiners including naturopathic doctors, possibly a medical doctor, possibly a licensed psychologist, a consumer, and one or more professionals from the other licensed professions. It is important to me that to be licensed in a state that I be judged and licensed by members of my own profession. I have no objection to members of other health-related professions serving on the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. I'll skip over some of my minor points to get to the major ones. Page 4, lines 1 through 21, denial, suspension, and revocation. I would like to see this simply rewritten so that it's more in line with the existing provisions for denial, suspension, and revocation of license of the currently licensed healthcare practitioners, professionals in the state. Under the scope of practice at the bottom of the page, line 29, continuing on to the first few lines of page 5, I would like to have this read, to treat patients by biochemical, nutritional, lifestyle counseling, mechanical, electrical, manual, hydrotherapeutic, phytotherapeutic, homeotherapeutic, and naturally occurring mineral and organic substances and agencies that support the physiological functioning of the human organism. I think this is a little bit clearer definition of what we do than the way it's stated at this time. I would like to take a few moments to address the question of minor surgery brought up by Dr. Fritz, in that I would like to see it made very, very clear that we have what the difference between major and minor surgery is. Dr. Fritz has said that minor surgery is something you do on someone else. If it's being done on you, it's major. I would like to stick to a more clinical definition of minor surgery. involving the repair of lesions not greater than 2 inches in length and not greater than 3/4 of an inch in depth, the removal of apparently benign, superficial growths, with the provision for diagnostic procedures. As Dr. Fritz mentioned, many things appear benign, but once you get them under the microscope, they are definitely malignant. I would like us to have, and in the current medical establishment, as far as I know, the procedure is still the same. When you when you excise a lesion for a biopsy, you do it completely enough so that once it comes back malignant, the procedure has already been accomplished. And I am open to dialogue on this point. I don't want to belabor it. I feel okay. Point 4, line 5 of the same page, drawing blood for laboratory purposes. I feel that I'm at least as qualified in my training as a certified phlebotomist. I've had 2 years of clinical training in my teaching clinic, which have included working in the laboratory, drawing blood under licensed naturopaths. And I would like to see that provision left in. Oh, and a last word on major surgery, or on the surgical question. I do not want to be involved in major surgery. Major surgery, as I understand it, being the entering of any of the major body cavities for the surgical removal or repair of damaged or diseased tissues. Line 20 at the bottom of page 5, line 20 through continuing to line 1 of the next page, continuing education. I would like to see this to be a function of the Board of Examiners, and I would like to have it say that it is a must, not a maybe. Page 6, on violations, simply have this rewritten in line with the other licensed healthcare practitioners. Last but not least, definitions. I would want to define everything in all the words used in the scope of practice. I would like to have defined clearly and concisely. And I do not feel any great urge or necessity for including the licensing of practitioners of naturopathy or naturopathic medicine without examination. Lines 20, 28 and 29 of page 6, continuing on to page 7. I want to present myself as a practitioner of a legitimate health profession. I do not want to ask for any special privileges. I do not want to be given any special. Do not want to be discriminated against in any special way. And I am done speaking, and I'm open for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Jamison. I want to draw the attention before I recognize the questions that we're going to go for another 2 minutes, and then we're going to adjourn the meeting and carry this bill at another later date, perhaps even longer. But at this point in time, we have two committee members at wish, Mr. Davis and Mr. President. And you will please make your statement, your question short, Mr. Davis.
First, just a request for
Mr.
Covenant, excuse me. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. The first, of course, just a request for a position paper for a file, and the other is just a question. How many practicing naturopaths are there in the state?
Okay. There are... This is a good question. There are myself and Dr. Pettijohn in Anchorage. I am aware of two chiropractic chiropractic physicians who in the state who also have degrees in naturopathy, who I would welcome them being having their naturopathic degrees licensed under a law of this nature. And these are the people that I am aware of in the state.
Thank you. And have you suffered any professional disability without under the current lack of licenses?
Okay. Not to my knowledge.
Mr. Davis?
Mr. Colbert, asked my question. Thank you.
Okay. Very well.
Could I say one more thing?
You certainly may.
Okay. With regard to the lack of professional licensing, the only thing I do have to say is that many of my clients have requested third-party reimbursement, having their insurance companies cover their medical costs. And very, very few of their insurance companies have been willing to do this because we are not state licensed practitioners. That's the only thing I would say.
Mr. Gall has a short question, Mr. Davis.
In regard to the last statement you just made, can you outline for me what precisely takes place by way of procedures, questionnaires, or what have you if a new patient comes into your office, how much each procedure costs at your current rate schedule, please?
Okay. I have a...
No, I don't need a long detail. I'm just talking about on a first admission to your office, an individual comes in, I'd like to know what your normal course of procedure is and what the cost is very briefly.
Okay. An initial visit is $30. Medications, laboratory costs, and specialty procedures are additional. Follow-up visits are $20 to $25, depending on the amount of time I spend with a person. I am involved in a practice known as homeopathy, which is quite a bit more involved than a simple 15-minute visit. When I do a homeopathic evaluation, I charge $48 per hour for the time spent with the patient.
Thank you, Mr. Jameson, and I appreciate your being here, and also I'll let the moderator close us off from the link.
Yes, this is the teleconference network committee here.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Petty.
Okay, well, I'll be in touch with
you. Know, it's clear.
Depending upon your interpretation, we will receive a safe report.
See, we can get this straight out.
Opposition to the current bill.